Hey, Danger Dan Jurz here with a quick announcement. Our next interstitial bonus content will be Daniel's Power Rangers mini campaign, and it will be the final one before the start of Season 2 officially begins. It's a soft Season 1 epilogue slash side story that will be releasing exclusively on Patreon, with its first episode dropping Wednesday, May 27th. Stick around after the episode to hear a sneak preview. More details about Season 2 will be coming soon, so keep an ear out and enjoy the episode.
D&D Dark Souls is a dark fantasy adventure intended for older audiences. Content warnings can be found in the episode descriptions.
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the
hello and welcome to D&D Dark Souls, a dark fantasy actual play podcast inspired by mechanics from the Dark Souls tabletop role-playing game system and starring some of Fantasia's most fractured fairy tales. I am your host and scribe of the Great Flame, Ben Magnet.
Hello, I'm Danger Dan Jurz, and I am playing The Prince, our jack-of-all-trades of deprived origin. And last session, Ben gave us an early April Fool's Day present. We took down the Red Fae, the Vermiform Fae, the Appendix Fairy.
Woo! It will plague us no longer.
That's canon. It's dead.
And we finally got a backstory lore drop on the knight. So welcome to the team, Sir Mordred.
Yay!
Hello, everyone. I'm Aaron, and I'm playing the Huntsman, our thief of fencer origin. And last time, we got the pretty lady bodice, and then we all wore it for a little bit, but then we slotted it into a statue, and that's how we released the Appendix Fairy, which we dunked on!
Yay!
You did. You dunked on that Appendix Fairy pretty hard.
That appendicitis. That's what I gotta say about that.
That was almost as forced as the Appendix Fairy.
And then Mordred got like his fifth sword this campaign, and I'm still rocking my starter bow, so interesting.
I haven't even considered my mace in a hot minute.
You have a mace?
He technically does, yeah.
My modifier is +0.
Anyway, it's nice that everyone on the team has finally revealed all their identities, and there's no more secrets and nothing new to learn. Finally.
Yep.
Hello, I'm Grayson. I was playing the knight, but it has been revealed. I'm playing Mordred.
Ooh.
The knight that killed King Arthur. And, well, like Aaron said, I got my fifth sword, which is frickin' awesome as hell. So he's leaning a little bit more into the offensive abilities that he has. So we got two awesome rings last time. And then on top of that, increased a few abilities. We dealt with the Appendix Fairy, and now we are here outside this shrine place. And I think there was like a voice or something, but we still got to figure out what's going on with that.
My name is Daniel Cruz, and I'm playing Pinocchio, the real boy, our cleric. And last session, Ben threw, honestly, my favorite of all references he could have pulled, the Appendix Fairy, for a horrifying boss fight. And I want to say I, like, just dumped a bunch of damage into one of my lightning spears. That feels like something I did.
I'm pretty sure that is.
I'm going to say yes.
It has been 1 week, monsieur. What the hell?
I know. I've had a lot of stuff to go in and out of my head this week. 75 damage sounds right. Nothing else of import happened.
Exactly, nothing.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play the spider. And last time, I'm going to try my best to remember what happened prior to the Appendix Fairy, because a lot happened. After resolving the situation with the evil stepmother and Cinderella, we spent some time in that sanctuary, had a beautiful conversation with the fairy godmother, started to have some opening conversations with Miss Muffet with patience, And then we went back outside, and there was a cool fountain that we got to splish splash with, and then we played Pretty Pretty Princess for a little bit. And then nothing happened, and then Mordred got his sword, and it was really cool. But the spider, being one of the few that actually knew a little bit of the story and legend of Mordred, but knew that they couldn't quite be that accurate, mostly interrogated him on, well, you have a new beginning, you have a new start. What are you going to do when it's all over? So I'm very curious to see what Mordred will do when we do get out of all of this.
We all gonna fuck this shit up.
Hell yes!
Well, with all that, let's dive right back into the darkness.
As I've said before, anyone who can come up from nothing and attain nobility is truly admirable indeed. You have my admiration, and I hope I have yours. I am going to need it. And he's going to take off inside.
The hell happened to him?
That was oddly sentimental. I'm worried.
Same. And I'll chase after.
Yeah, I think we'll run after.
Yeah, that was a... Yep.
All right. All of you follow the prince inside the monastery. The inside of this monastery, the statues are still standing. Some of them might be missing some limbs, but you can feel the ancient history of this place. And at the very back of the room, you see on either side of an altar, two doors, but in the center is no vile one, but a woman. And Prince, you recognize her immediately. Whereas Snow White was chained up by glass chains, Cinderella by vines, Princess Aurora stands before you, wrapped in briar, thorns poking into her arms. She lets out a few cries of pain, but she still is there and endures. And upon hearing footsteps enter the monastery, she looks up in pained sorrow and instantly recognizes and puts her gaze upon the prince.
Philip? Philip, is that you? Oh, no, 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 it can't be you. You need to hurry. You need to run. You need to... It's coming. Hurry, you need to end me. End me now. End me before the curse comes. End me before I destroy you. Hurry!
And the prince is going to very confusedly pull out his royal seal with the name Edward, and look back and forth at the princess that he absolutely recognizes and can't place, and the name Philip feels correct but clashes with what he sees, and looking a little bit deeper and more heavily at the paper, looks through the wear and tear and says under his breath, "Fuck. Edward was the middle name."
Jesus Christ.
And he looks up, takes a couple steps forward, and says, Is that really you, Briar Rose?
It's me. I'm here. But you have to hurry. The longer you're here, the more powerful it gets, and I can't hold it off for long. I'm so sorry, but you need to end me. You need to end me now. You need to do it.
He is going to steel his resolve. He's going to take some steps forward slowly, and without an easy way to kill her, he is going to look to the briar patches to see if he can fashion anything sharp enough to do the job. He is going to wrap one of the vines from the briar patch around his scepter and try to break it off. He is going to look very sorrowfully and is going to whisper
to her.
I'm sorry. I couldn't be your prince. And I thank you for being my papa.
Oh!
She looks up and says, "You were always a prince to me. You were never a papa. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry we have to do this, my love. But you must hurry. It's... No. No. It's... No."
And she looks up, and her eyes that were once a solid, beautiful, deep blue now change to a malevolent yellow. Her skin starts to grow clammy as the briars start to recede. As she looks up at you and goes, "This was Maleficent's final curse to me when I cursed her. You need to run. Run away. Run now."
"This all ends if I kill you, right?"
"Not unless I kill you first."
He's going to raise up the scepter and, with a tear, bring it down on her while slipping onto her finger the sacrifice ring that I purchased from the previous level up, where once per game, when the wearer of the ring dies, they come back without being hollowed and without losing anything. I slip that ring on in an attempt to outsmart the curse, because what was required was that she be killed, not that she die.
Your sleight of hand from your pauper days as a thief works. The ring is attached, but she catches your hand before the scepter reaches her head, and her body continues to contort and elongate, and she throws you back into the main hall. Her dress morphs, she elongates, and with a screech, she plunges her fist into the ground and brandishes a large flaming sword. For unfortunately, Briar Rose is now gone, and what stands before you is a monstrosity, ready to dance to the death, kill you all, and serve the mistress of all evil. Roll for initiative.
All right, everyone, so you're going to need to get on board with an awful lot very quickly.
Oh?
Long story short, that is the Princess Aurora. She is cursed. I snatched an item from Sid, the magician, that is supposed to protect us from death, to prevent us from being hallowed. That is on her finger right now. Theoretically, if we kill her, she should revert back to normal. So, don't hold anything back. Just ignore what I will be doing and saying going forward.
Very well.
Already done.
And with that, the dancer is going to move to both Mordred and the prince, and she is going to immediately make 4 attacks. Oh, no.
Don't say things like that.
Well, Grayson.
Nat 20.
She rolled a nat 20 on you.
Let's go.
For Dan, she rolled a 29 to hit.
Holy shit.
That will hit.
Okay. I'm going to do the attack for Dan first, because it is 4d6 plus 8 plus 6d8 fire damage.
Pinocchio, I hope you're ready.
So scared. I'm not even the one being hit. I'm scared.
Grand total of 57 damage to the prince.
Are you sure you don't want me to take the crit and Mordred to take the 57?
If you want to take the crit damage, I will gladly switch.
Because I can survive the crit. I don't think he can.
Okay. Grayson, you take 57 damage.
Okay.
I will, just for full transparency, I will be using Aldrich's Ruby Ring to treat this critical damage like a regular hit, and so the damage will be just normal.
Oh, hell yeah.
If that changes your equation, then you can have me take the 57 and Mordred take the crit.
Nope. So because of your ring, the damage will be just done as normal, so I'll just roll for normal damage. Sound good?
Sounds good. That's a one and done, so that's my one.
The one has been done.
I mean, this is probably the only time it's going to make this much of a difference, so good call.
37 total damage to the prince.
Okay, that's not as bad. I was prepared for that to be... We're good.
We're good. Well, not good, but...
I see what Dan did. He chose the lower one.
Interesting.
Well, if you're bloodied, then it double screws me over.
Oh, yeah.
Because then he starts taking all of it, right?
So she swings with a sword first, and now she's going to do her twirl attacks.
Grayson, are you bloodied?
Yes, I am.
So all of this damage is going to go to me.
Oh,
because I can't turn off. Northern Might is not optional.
Oh, no. Well, this first one is going to go to the prince. I'm just going to lay that. So whatever the dice rolls, it's going to happen, okay?
I mean, we can't say no.
That is 30 to hit.
Yeah, that'll hit.
And this next one is going to go to Grayson.
Nuh-uh.
It's going to go to me.
32 to hit.
All right.
22 slashing damage and 27 fire damage.
All right. So, first hit. Actually, no. Either way, I am dead. Because I have to take 47 damage twice. I do have an ability that lets me ignore one of those hits. The other one just barely kills me.
Well... As the dancer twirls around, in some cruel irony, the monster before you, your one true love, ends you as you get slashed and kicked so hard that the metal fused in your skin cracks and bends in on itself, and finally her sword drives through your own body. As you look up and you start to fade away, the last thing you remember is you and Aurora dancing in a forest, both of you in peasant clothes, laughing for the first time and quite possibly the last time before everything went to hell. And Dan, you died.
All right, I will make my hallowing roll. That is a 14 on the hallowing roll.
Ooh, okay.
What does a 14 mean?
It means you win.
Yay!
You come back with a nuke.
Oh, the Dark Souls nuke, I see.
So, a 14. Indifference. Death does not care about you. Why should it? You are merely one more thing cursed to resist your natural end. No changes occur.
Oh, wow.
Interesting.
That feels both thematically appropriate and a little insulting.
Yeah. That's the universe's way of saying, walk it off, champ, you're fine.
Yeah, rub some dirt in it.
So, I'm going to roll a d4. If I roll a 1, you will enter the fight at the top of the order. And, oh, look at that, I rolled a 1.
Sweet. The bonfire is right outside the door, so that makes sense.
Yeah, it is right outside the door. So you know what? Because the bonfire is super close, I will have it so that if anyone else dies, you will just have to wait one whole round. So right before the dancer attacks, that is when you will respawn. And you will have to reroll initiative, just letting you know.
Reroll position too?
Yes, reroll position as well. And yeah, that's the dancer's turn. So she essentially just one-shotted one of your guys right now.
The toughest guy.
Good luck. And with that, real boy, it's your turn.
Yeah, Pinocchio, you got this, buddy.
Save us.
So Pinocchio watches the dancer like lunge forward, start sweeping her swords, watches the first blow hit the prince. As he grabs his charm, he starts saying, "Your Highness, do you?" Watches the second blow hit and he fades. Sir Knight, do you need assistance?
I certainly wouldn't say no.
That's a yes, then.
Also, above table, I have a really cool thing with Clarent that I could do. So, if by chance you could hold your turn for after that, that'd be great.
Problem with, like, all of my heals is that they're touch distance.
Ah.
So, could I ready a heal if the prince comes within range for me to heal him?
You mean the knight?
The knight?
That's what I mean. I keep saying the prince. I mean the knight.
I'll allow it.
I'm so used to the prince being like the bigger tank. There's no prince right now.
No, the prince is dead.
She does get attacks, but yeah.
Yeah, she's going to get an opportunity attacks. Ugh. Yeah, no, I'm going to stop here behind what I hope is a pillar.
It is.
Was your Yorshka's charm thing touch? I thought that was sort of a radius.
It's a 20-foot radius.
It's too far.
Aw, bummer. Or at least not this turn.
Yeah.
But that means lightning, baby.
But it also means, again, I could hold my heal for the night.
I don't think he lives if he's trying to walk back to you.
Yeah, she would have to miss her attacks.
So do I pump in the lightning spear?
Totally up to you. Because I will say that even with her base attack, I probably don't live.
I think I see how this fight's going to go.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, I think probably just lightning spear.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I will throw out a lightning spear at her. That's going to miss.
Position.
But then he won't be able to pump position into the lightning itself.
Oh, dude, it's still damage.
Rolled a 7, I guarantee.
7 plus what?
No, that's 7. No, that's 4 plus 3.
No, I
three,
know.
Seven.
What is position helpful to you? You will not live one hit either way. If you have one position in your bank, or your max position, you will die in one hit.
My thought of how this is going to go is we are all going to die here. It's just we need to keep throwing our bodies at the brick wall until it falls.
Zap Brannigan. That's what we are doing right now up in this bitch.
Yeah!
You're going to zap Brannigan her?
I don't think we have a choice.
Hell yeah.
I'm with Jordan. I'm on board.
There's no other way around this.
I'm going to pump 13 position into it to get to an even 20.
A 20 will hit.
And chuck my my spear.
Okay, roll for damage.
22 damage.
She takes 22 damage with the lightning spear.
It's better than nothing.
And that's my turn.
Huzzah!
All right, Huntsman, you're up.
Well, I'm gonna shoot at her.
Okay.
All right, sick. 22 to hit.
A 22 will hit.
Let's go. Let's do a little bit of damage. 24 on the dice.
Okay.
And I've got 75 positions, so 24 plus 74.
Oh, shit.
You know, fair enough.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That is 98 damage.
Okay.
My God.
Well, in true railgun fashion, you just power up and unload as she shrieks in pain. That hurt.
As the dancer looks over, she sees Spider and Huntsman whispering at each other and, like, charading, like, throwing our bodies at it and dying and then getting back up and running back in. We're, like, discussing the strat.
Yeah. And just... Bleh, bleh.
And then I will drink an Estus.
Before we continue, I will say, if she does TPK, she does go back to full health. But if one of you can manage to live and you keep trickling in, the fight will still stay as it is.
Oh, yeah, it's keep away for sure. Yeah.
We must keep the board active.
Okay, so that was the Huntsman's turn. Spider, you're up.
Okay. Before it's officially her turn, I'm going to use a reaction to activate Slayer Elect to gain that double damage.
Ooh, hell yeah.
And we are going to roll to hit.
You sound really confident. I like that.
I'm so confident. 21 to hit.
A 21 will hit.
Huzzah. So that'll be 5d6 times 2. For 30 damage.
Ooh.
And then I think I want to pour in position to this, but also we need someone alive on the field. At least for one more round.
As long as you leave yourself 3 position, you can parry one attack, right?
That's true.
And I will be taking at least one.
That's true. Okay. How does it sound bringing myself down to at least base position?
Oh, you do whatever you want to do. I just want you to know you have options.
No, that's so fair and so true. I'm going to pour in 34 position, so that'll make this damage do 64 damage.
Okay.
Okay, and then we'll do my wimpy second attack. 15 plus 7.
That's a 22 to hit. Yes, it will. A 22 will hit.
Sweet. That will be a nice, gentle 5 damage.
Okay.
And, like, eep! And I'm gonna try and run off in a different direction so that if she comes for one of us, she's not coming for all of us. I'm kind of putting myself in a corner, but I just need to survive one more round.
Okay.
And then bonus action, drink an Estus. Delicious!
And then I have an important question. When we die, does our stuff re-up, like abilities and stuff?
Yeah.
Sweet. All right.
Oh, so death is treated like a rest?
It's the longest rest of them all.
No, very fair.
That is my turn.
Okay. Mordred, you're up.
Looking at her, noticing that he's still got one of her blades stuck in his side, he grabs the blade, blood leaking out onto the floor.
All right, fine. If this is how this is going to go, we will be taking advantage of everything that we have in this world.
And I think for at least the moment, since I kind of understand what we got to do, I'm going to immediately dump in to position for my night shield. And that's going to increase my AC by 4, which I'm bloodied, so that increases it by 7.
Ooh.
It's definitely not going to be 30, but that's going to at least get me to 25.
Okay.
But that's only going to be for one round.
All right.
Because we are trying to buy time. And then I will go for... Fuck it. Let's do second wind bonus action. I get a little extra health. I might be able to survive one attack now. And let's do the thing that I'm supposed to be doing. So we're going to go for the 2 attacks.
All right.
19.
A 19 will hit.
Awesome. And then going to roll my second attack, and then I'll do damage. 18 to hit.
18 will not hit.
Excellent. 11 damage.
Ooh! 11 damage, you say?
And guess what? We're gonna action surge.
Well, here's the thing, Grayson.
How
before,
dare you?
You will still be able
no,
to...
No, I won't. Don't you dare freaking lie to me.
Good news is you just bloodied the dancer.
Really?
The bad news is all creatures within 20 feet of the dancer must make a strength saving throw of 21.
No!
On a failure, the creature suffers 3d10 plus 8 bludgeoning and 6d8 necrotic damage.
But you're a strong boy, right?
I am, but I think you said that I take damage even on the save?
It's half damage on a save.
I have to save then.
And it's a DC 21.
DC 21, baby! Let's go!
Woo!
Strong boy! Strong boy!
Strong boy!
Let's go. Strong boy!
Strong boy! Strong boy!
God, a 1 would be so fucking funny right now.
I'm going to use Unbreakable because it says can reroll a 1 strength check or save, recharge on short rest.
Oh no!
Oh, no.
All right. Strong boy! 20.
Oh no!
It's 48 total damage.
Yeah, I'm dead.
So, as you bloody the dancer, she screams and plunges her fist into the ground, pulls another dark, icy greatsword in a what looks like to be a fury of blows, but to everyone else still has masterful precision. Both connect with the knife, chopping him into this. And Mordred, you died. And I need you to roll a d20 for the Halloween table, please.
Alrighty.
Get stronger.
I can only hope. 10?
A 10. Ooh.
Love that. Thank you, Ben. Love that.
Forgotten. Some memory, some fragile recollection of your past or current life has gone. Between you and the GM, decide what this memory is and what effect its loss has on you.
He just got it. God damn it.
Can we come back to me on that?
Yes, we can come back to you on that. I need you to wait one full round until you can come back.
Okay.
Because now is the top of the round, and that means Dan's back!
Yay! our chances of getting TPK'd this turn just went down dramatically.
Yay!
Our chances of me getting wiped this turn just went up dramatically.
Okay, so the dancer is going to move down here, and she is going to make her multi-attacks. She is going to go and swing at the real boy with one of her attacks.
Did she not?
She has to. She has to.
No, she doesn't. She doesn't have to. You're the DM. You can make her do anything. She can just dance.
Nope, she's dancing around, and she sees the real boy who hit her with a lightning spear, so she's going to go for it.
Tell me that's a nat 1, baby.
No, but it was a 5, but it's a plus 15, so a 20 to hit.
Yeah, my AC is 12. Fucking kill me. I'm going to say that knowing the damage she dealt, there is no way she does not, in fact, just one-shot me here.
You get 21 damage from the sword, and also 6d8 from the fire damage.
So, no, I'm dead.
So, yeah, you've been here before. You see the sword come in, and... write down how many souls you had, because you died.
I rolled my hollowing already. Nat 20.
Oh! Whoa.
I told you, it's the training art.
Miracle of the grave. Perhaps you are less than you once were, but this time upon returning to life, you feel alive. Gain +2 to any single attribute.
+2 to any stat?
+2 to any attribute.
Ooh.
So that was 1 of 4 multi-attacks. She is going to move an extra 5 feet down here, and she is going to go ahead and make another greatsword attack against the huntsman.
Nat 1 it for me. Nat 20s don't fucking matter. You'll kill us anyway, but nat 1s.
I rolled an 18 on the die.
That's sort of not what I said. I am dead. I had 12 health, so as soon as that landed, it was over.
Yeah, you're fucked. You're dead. You tell me what memory flashes through your mind before you die.
The Queen of Vanity ripping my heart out, but the second time, like, a day ago. It's just like, oh, yes, here we are. What's a 15 get me on the hollowing table?
Murmur. You have returned, but something has lodged in your mind from beyond. A voice is in your head now, whispering strange thoughts.
Can it be the Appendix Fairy?
No!
Actually, I had something better. I mean, if you really wanted to be
no,
Appendix
please,
Fairy...
what's the better thing? No, please, 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 please. I beg of you.
I was going to say the Queen of Vanity.
Could you just kill me again, actually?
And for her final two attacks, she's going to go to the spider, and she will make her final two twirl attacks.
If one of them's a nat one, the spider can live.
Parry. Parry!
You have parry.
Does an 18 hit?
18 will hit.
Okay, so they're both going to hit.
I will parry one, and then what's the damage of the other?
So you parry the first twirl, but the second is going to be 22 slashing damage and an extra 27 fire damage. So a grand total of 49 damage with the twirl.
49?
Yep.
I'm still up.
Let's fucking
You're
go!
Still up?
I had 55 position.
Holy hell.
She's gonna go back to the center of the room, still dancing as she is, and that will end her shitty turn.
Okay.
And yeah, you're hurt, but it is now officially your turn.
Okay. As it becomes the spider's turn and she's bloody beaten, half like clinging to a very sliver of life, she's gonna turn and see the prince return back into the room, and she's gonna look at you and kind of whisper, "Do you think we can do this?"
"We're going to have to."
"Okay, I will follow your lead." Clang, clang. And then she's going to use her dash action to sprint to the other side of the room to try and create as much distance as possible, and then use her bonus action to drink an Estus flask, and that will be her turn.
Okay. Prince, it is your turn.
All right, so the prince coming back into the fray and seeing basically everyone down is going to steal his resolve. He's going to strong magic shield and is going to run forward in the opposite direction of the spider and is going to call out to Aurora, "Oi,
This is between you and me, love. You want to dance? Let's dance. The way we did once. Upon a dream.
Ooh, that's... God damn it. Dan, take an inspiration. That was too good.
Okay.
Right. Oh, that was way too good. Take an inspo. For love of God, take this inspo.
I will gladly.
Please.
And that is my turn.
Okay. And it is the top of the round. The dancer unexpectedly stops and leans over. Essentially what she's wearing is this metal face mask, but you do see her eyes, and you can tell that even though this curse has completely taken over her body, her mind is still in there, and you see one single tear fall down her cheek as she twirls and goes straight to you and will do all four multi-attacks against you.
All right, that's what I was hoping. This is best case scenario.
If she rolls a nat 1, it will negate everything. You ready?
As ready as I'm gonna be.
Oh my god. Natural 1! Yeah!
Oh my god. Oh my god. Fucking talking about.
All those dice were not above a 10. The highest was a 10. It was a 1, a 6, a 7, and a 10.
Only one of those would have hit
me.
Oh
my god.
That's amazing. Your words worked.
With that nat 1, Aurora Briar Rose does not want to hurt you. She does not want any more pain or suffering. Her mind finally taking over her body, breaking through this curse. She drops her swords down. Both of them miss you by a wide margin. Lifts them up and she twirls away, smashing the pillars, clawing and kicking at nothing but air. And she goes back with that natural 1. She dances her way to the back of the room and drops to her knees with both swords, edges down, splayed out as if to say, I am here. End it now. And with that, Huntsman, it is your turn.
I'm gonna attack. Does an 18 hit?
An 18 does not hit.
Man, that takes all the wind out of this. I'll put in 2 position to, you know, get it up to 20.
A 20 will hit.
Well, this feels way less meaningful since it's 13 damage. But seeing Aurora take that position, the Huntsman draws back the bow, knocks an arrow, pulls on the string, but then looks over at the prince and, like, waits for, like, a sign, you know, an acknowledgement that this is something he wants to have happen.
The prince is going to nod and solemnly clang, clang.
And then the Huntsman shoots the weakest arrow you've ever seen that just, like, kind of hits her a little bit. And then if you look back, he's got his head in his hands.
As you do that, you hear a voice just go, that was the best you have. Pitiful.
Oh, God! Oh, God! No!
It's Saturday night all over again.
So, yeah, Huntsman just starts having a breakdown, and he drinks from the Estus flask, but this time it looks more like it's an emotional crutch than, like, a healing thing.
All right. Mordred, you're up.
So, doing a real quick rewind, as he was killed, went on the hollowing table, spun that thing, a moment flashes in his head. And he remembers a conversation that he had with Lancelot. Lancelot told him that Arthur is still a good man, but he needs someone to help him. He needs someone to guide him to help the people of Camelot and lead them to a time of peace. And during this time, Lancelot had helped Mordred get over some of his issues with Arthur. He remembers these moments, these flashes, and then slowly they start disintegrating. And then now all he can remember is the hatred and anger that he has towards Arthur.
Oh.
The knight will walk through the door, remembering that he was killed.
Interesting. So this is how it has to happen. Aurora, Arthur, all of you. You only desire whatever it is that you fancy, don't you? Damning all of us. You will die. I am Mordred, the Bane of Pendragon.
And I will spend two position at least to use Cursed Memory.
Okay.
Choose one foe. All attacks are made with advantage until it is killed.
Just like Camlin.
Oh, shit.
You know what, Grayson? Take a thing of inspo. That was pretty damn good.
Cool. Thank you.
Will that be your turn?
Unfortunately so, because she is too far.
Pinocchio, you're up.
The real boy marches in with this strange new sense of confidence. And the only way I can describe it is kind of aura farming he steps into the room.
Whole bunch of JoJo poses.
Locks eyes with Aurora and says, "You know, that was quite rude." And preps another lightning spear. But as he pulls back, there's like a glint in his eye. And what is usually a yellow turns to this brilliant blue as he channels the powers of the blue fairy. And that is going to be 24 to hit.
A 24 will hit.
32. And you know what? I have 43. I'm going to pump in 30.
So for a grand total of
63 damage.
Not enough.
As I just not enough. All right. I'll pump in 40. We'll go down to 3 position. We're going to 73 damage.
Acceptable.
That hurts.
His hand is physically singed, and he's gonna just like keeping his eyes locked on her. Drink from his Estus flask.
Okay. The lightning spear hits her square the chest, and as much of damage as it does, unfortunately, whatever control the real Aurora had over her own body fades away as the curse takes over once more. And in a very quick action, her head snaps back into position, stares directly at the real boy, and the swords lift up and she starts her dance one more time. But it is not her turn yet. It is the spider's turn.
It's me. Oh, goodness. Everyone's walking back in here with reinvigorated fervor. And she's just in the corner.
Heal up.
I think immediately going to drink from the Estus flask. She will stand her ground. She will string an arrow and will try to attack. The first one will miss, unless a 15 hits.
Nope, 15 will not hit.
Actually, I don't even think I would get sneak attack here. Well, we'll try and hit anyways and see what happens. There's always position to spend, after all. 19 plus 7 to hit.
That will definitely hit.
Okay, that will be a nice, quaint 1d6 of damage. That'll be 4 damage, plus, let's put a tasty 16 in there for 20 damage.
All right. It hurts. It hurts quite a bit. At this point, she's getting used to constantly getting shot at, and she is just dancing through the pain. And it is now the prince's turn.
All right. I can't make it all the way to my souls. I'm 5 feet short.
Take your souls back.
All right. I will take those souls back. I am going to dodge, and you described Aurora's face as being caged and coated essentially in iron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to knock against my own suit of armor grafted onto me and look at her sympathetically and say, "I know the feeling."
Oh.
And he is going to lift up his arms in waltz position.
Oh!
Okay.
And that's my turn.
So, the dancer is gonna see you, and she's going to waltz down. She's gonna go behind you, and she is going to make 2 attacks on you.
Alrighty, at disadvantage.
Alright, so this will be the first attack at disadvantage. It was a 2 and a 20.
Oh, well, the 2 won't hit.
Thank God.
All right, so second attack is going to be at disadvantage again, right?
At disadvantage.
Bro, you are lucky because that was another nat 20 I rolled. 22 to hit.
22 will not hit.
Yeah!
The curse taking over the dancer, seeing that she can't hit you, gets absolutely frustrated and goes back towards the knight. And she's not happy, so she's going to make her greatsword attack and her twirl attack on Mordred.
For flavor, her two misses against me. I was dancing in rhythm away from her hits.
Aww.
That's damn good. That is damn good. First attack on Mordred, 8 plus 15. Does a 23 hit?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's 21, 68 fire. Grand total of 46 damage.
Already.
That was her sword attack. Now it's for the twirl.
Let's go.
It's 27 to hit.
That hits.
Extra 49 damage to you.
Dead again.
No!
All right. Your souls have been lost. Even with your renewed muster to go up and face her, she just is able to land those hits. And you once again have died. And I need you to roll a d20 for the Halloween table, please.
The new Mordred scares me. Maybe he should roll a nat one.
No! He needs to roll your heal a part of yourself.
Where's the therapy roll?
Yeah.
That'll be a 17.
That's a high number. That could be therapy.
Give us therapy roll.
Therapy roll?
Nope, it is morbidity. Your focus is increasingly on your failing mind. The loss of your senses and the gradual erosion of self. Reduce any skill of your choice by minus one.
Oh my god.
The Mordridity.
God damn it, Jordan.
Now that ends her turn.
The huntsman looks over. Good going, cleric. Because they were standing right next to each other. And then he gets a little bit more serious and he yells across the room. Hey, Edward. Hell of a lady you know here. I hope I get to meet her for real. And I will attack. Well, that sucks ass. That's a 12, so I guess I'll put in 8 position to make it a hit.
Okay.
I'm not rail cannoning. This sucks. The shot lands for 22 damage.
Okay.
And then I'll, slurp on Anestis.
Do you want to grab your souls?
If I move, I lose the potential for all this damage.
Okay, good luck. Real boy, you're up.
I have my souls. My question is, do I try to do a heal or do I just do another point blank lightning spear?
Who do you heal? Who can you reach?
Point blank lightning spear, let's go. So I got a 14. We're Brannigan method.
Hell yeah.
I'm going to dump 6. I'm down to my 3 position again to get up to 19.
Okay, that will hit.
It's not quite as tasty as I'd want it to be. 32 damage as I chuck one more point blank spear at her. And I just flipper the bird and wait for the incoming attack.
She feels it. Actually, it messes up her rhythm a little bit, but she recovers.
Ah.
And it is now Spider's turn.
The Spider's going to drink one more Estus flask. She has one left. She's going to string her bow, now with an ally within 5 feet of her, be able to get sneak attack. But as she's pulling back on the arrow, she's gonna say out to the prince, you know, despite everything, you guys are really cute together. You can tell that even with the current situation, you understand each other to some level. I hope we can see that after this is said and done. Nat 20!
Yeah! Now we're talking!
5d6. So double that is 10d6. That'll be 37! And I think with the spider feeling so weak and wanting the miserable part of this to end and really wanting to see the prince being able to reunite with Aurora the person, I think she's going to spend all but one position into this. So that will be 34 for 71 damage.
Describe your killing blow.
Now let's go! The only one of us who lived!
Hell yeah.
The only one who made it the whole time!
Tears are going to start falling from her face, hoping some part of her really wishing that these two can go forward together, and is going to loose the arrow And would it be possible for me to hand over how this falls out to the prince?
I'll allow it.
The arrow is loose. It spikes right into her. And then the prince, what happens next?
As the arrow goes into her, and as she begins to fade, he is going to walk up to her, one arm around her waist, one arm at her hand, and do a small stationary twirl as she fades away. And in response to what the spider said of you two seem to really understand each other, he is going to say, "She's the only one who ever did." And then whatever happens, happens.
Her swords clang to the ground. Her body begins to fade, but you notice that there's a bright sheen of light that explodes off of her finger. The ring that you placed upon her before she transformed is now destroyed. And as the monstrosity of the Dancer of Briar Valley fades away, you hold in your arms Aurora Briar Rose, free of the curse of the Briar Valley, but not free of the curse of the Great Flame. And as she's coming to, she looks up and she sees all of you. She sees a spider just battered and beaten. She looks over and sees the huntsman racing to grab the souls. And walking in, she sees the knight Mordred. And finally, she looks over at you. And she just sighs with tears welling in her eyes and goes, "Oh, Philip. Oh, my dear sweet prince. You've probably just made this a lot harder than it had to be." Aurora just sighs and walks up to the altar that she was on. And she sits there on the top step and just looks at you and says, "I need to die. You need to free me." She's still here, along with someone else. Someone more vile than any of them put together. Myself, Cinderella, Snow, we all agreed it was the best. We put our faith in you, in all of the Ashen Ones who came before you. And look at you, Cinderella, Snow, you freed them, haven't you? That's why you're here?
I wouldn't call it freedom.
But they are. They're freed to do the work that we were called upon to do what we have been trading our entire lives to do. Ever since we gained this title, we knew that when we would perish, we would serve the flame better. We all knew it. If it wasn't for those damned vile ones, everything would have been fine. But look, I know it's hard. You've seen this twice over.
And she rushes up to the prince and places her hand on your cheek.
But what you did right now is you gave me a chance to say goodbye proper. You must have been through hell and back, fighting what I became. And now, the last memory you can have is of me with a smile instead of that horrific thing. And I will forever be grateful for you for that. But please, it has to be done. There's no way you can cheat it. It was all we could do to halt their influence, and you're doing it better than we ever could. All of you. You truly are the ones. And once she's dead, then you can claim it. Become the Lord of Embers and end this madness. The flame will be lit anew, and you all will see a brighter day, a better future for Fantasia. But just three lives over millions? I need to make that trade. And I have. Myself, the other two, we agreed. For the people, for this kingdom, and more importantly, for you. Oh, I thought I lost you for good. My little pauper turned to prince.
No. No, I ain't buying it. Talk her out of this. Any of you.
Your freedom provides a cold comfort, Aurora. It's not a... Having done it before, it doesn't feel right.
I know it doesn't. But it has to be this way. With my soul freed, I can go to the flame, and with Maleficent dead for good, we can all continue to live. Everyone gets to have a happy ending. I know it doesn't seem that way, but if one of you takes the throne, we will all be safe.
I'll do it.
But before you do, one last dance. And don't tell me when it ends.
He will take up a waltz.
And she will curtsy, take your hand, and get into position. And as the two of you dance throughout the halls of the monastery, you do not see the walls. You see the first time that you were introduced as Prince Philip, betrothed to Aurora. Your mind flashes back to when you finally told her that you were a man from the streets, that you were plucked up and you talked to the real Prince Philip, because he wanted freedom from aristocratic life. He claimed that he wanted you to be a prince so you can take his place and he can live as a free man among the common people. But you didn't realize that you needed to go to war. And Aurora telling you that she knew that you were not him, but you have the greatest comfort of knowing that she thinks you were always better than him. For you, the pauper, took on the responsibility, learned all of the trades of royalty, but lost none of your honor, lost none of the smarts and the wisdom that you gained from growing up the streets. Instead, you truly became a model prince that other royals can aspire to become. And then the war broke out in full, and you fell. The real Prince Philip was never to be seen again. But to the world, you are Prince Philip. And you will be damned if anyone will take that away from you.
And we dance until the prince slash the pauper, works up the willpower to lift up his briar-wrapped scepter behind her back and end it.
And she twirls one last time, looks at you, and points to the altar that where she was originally, and says,
"There's something for you, my love. And if you take the throne, we will see each other again. And dance until the stars fall from the sky."
And Briar Rose is no more. And you look up to the altar where she was being held by the briar vines. A beautiful, shining shield. A shield that she gave you. You kind of joked at her and said a sword probably would be better. But she decided a shield was the better present. For while a sword does bring great power, a shield is meant to protect. And you attain your shield of virtue. And everyone who survived, I need you to add 25,000 souls to your soul bank.
Sorry, Grayson.
The prince is going to take up the shield and is going to solemnly look back to the rest of the team and is going to say, "All right, well, as I'm sure you've all pieced together by now, I ain't no bleeding prince. But if it's all the same to you, no one else needs to know. And if we keep this up, then you'll be looking at King Philip Edward Fantasia I. I appreciate all of your help in all of this. I'm going to need a moment, but when all of you are ready,
we'll go tear the bollocks off a bleeding dragon."
"You'll always be a foppish nonce to me, Philip."
And as you look down, you see a bonfire beckoning you back to the flame. And as you all approach it, every single one of you feels a little bit stronger for the blessing of Briar Rose grants every single one of you one level up.
You were risen from the earth, given a second birth. When all has fallen into darkness, a chance to break the curse. The sound of battle cries, blood red dirt and crimson skies. The kingdom is pleading for its hero. Will you be the one to rise?
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of D&D Dark Souls, created and hosted by Ben Magnet, with artwork by Jordan Nelson and editing by myself, Danger Dan Jers. If you want to join the ranks of patrons like Lindsay Tutt, Billy Bob Jones, the OG Phantom, Cryophersate, and Emperor Palpatine, then head on over to our Patreon and sign up for $1, $5, or $10 a month. You can also help us out by spreading the word to your friends and family, or leaving us a review at ratethispodcast.com/dndark. Our cast was Aaron Coffold as The Huntsman, Jordan Nelson as The Spider, Daniel Cruz as Pinocchio, the real boy, Grayson Norman as Sir Mordred, the knight, and myself, Danger Dan Jers, as the pauper. Our theme song and outro were created by Nicole Carino. Additional music was provided by Monument Studios. Keep an ear out for more content from us and follow our socials at dndark_podcast for info about more of our upcoming projects.
Jesus, this is the most you guys have... This is the... Oh, my God. Maybe she was a little too difficult.
You act surprised all before recording. Ben's like, oh, you guys are going to die. Oh, it's so dangerous. We get in here and you're like, what? You're dying? Liar.
Hello and welcome to Super Stryford Regency Rangers, a comedy action adventure loosely based on Sentai and Sensibility by 9th Level Games and starring some of Stratford's most colorful creatures.
You may call me Adrien Alucard Depeche. If you know what my father did, it could be bad.
Looking matronly with her face hidden behind a fan stands the Kuchisake Ona. Doesn't everyone think she's beautiful?
My name is Sir Gordon Topham Hatt. Pleasure to meet you. I like to make stuff go boom.
My name is Richard Milo Renfield.
He's back.
No, he's just still like that. Oh, God.
Hi, I'm Jordan, and I play Frederick the Loafer.
My God, is this the dude that was like... in that one episode of D&D Dark?
It is the deepest cut of inside jokes that could be made.
Are you married, miss?
I am not married.
Kuchisake leans immediately to the group, just pulls a quick huddle. We need to get this trollop out of this fucking town.
We go fight?
I meet you at dawn tomorrow morning.
It's... date.
I hope to find love like that someday.
She says that I hit her. I did not hit her. It's not bullshit. I did not. And as you're walking, he just keeps following you.
Oh, God. I believe I have made an unfortunate ally.
On his hips are two pistols. On his back are two rifles. And on his chest, a triple barrel shotgun.
Oh, my God.
I will destroy all of you and destroy this town.
D&D Dark presents Super Stratford Regency Rangers, premiering Wednesday, May 27th, only on patreon.com/DNDarkPodcast.